This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Send me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield called life. And a quick announcement before I get to my guest. We will be in the United Kingdom in October, so for those of you who are there, if you want to set up a conference or a meeting or have me speak an event, then contact us through the contact information, the email address, the website at the end of the broadcast. The website is blazinggrace.org. So today I have with me Dane Clark. Dane has worked 15 years for Arizona Baptist Children's Services and caring ministries. They offer foster care, counseling, pregnancy centers, food and clothing resources, and life development for men with addictions and incarceration. He coordinates volunteers and interns and helps lead the life development program, which is for those who have been cast aside by society and who Jesus would call the least of these. So, Dane, my friend, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. It's great to be with you. I appreciate you giving me the time to talk a little bit about our ministry.
Let's start on that note then. And so what does tell us about what your ministry does?
Well, it is a very diverse ministry, as you already read in the intro. However, I want to kind of dive down into our ministry called Caring Ministries, which is historically grocery rescue food ministry. So back in 1970s, a missionary named Ross Hanna, he made his way to Arizona, and he started, he was a missionary to the Native American on the different reservations across the country. But he settled in Tucson, and he founded a church here in the old Pascua Yaqui reservation here in Midtown Tucson, and it's still here today as a reservation. And that church was born to obviously preach the word and evangelize, but out of that grew a food ministry where they would pick up food from her local grocery store and hand it out to the neighborhood. And then slowly over time, that relationship with grocery stores grew to multiple. Until now, we currently pick up about 40% of the grocery stores in Tucson, and we use that food to pump back out into the community all over southern Arizona. Every year, we rescue between 4 to 6 million pounds of food, which then in turn church partners will take, pick up from us, or we'll deliver. And that food goes to their church areas and their neighborhoods to feed people that are in need. As you know, with the current society we're in and the inflation costs, and people are struggling just to put food on the table and pay the necessities of life, this supplemental food goes a long way, and we're just privileged to be part of that, that God is allowing us to fulfill Matthew 25, which is, you know, when Jesus said, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink, and I was a stranger and you invited me in." And that's where you pointed out in the intro, the least of these is that we have a lot of folks who are struggling and are broken. I know your ministry works with the broken and the hurting, and that's what we do as well every day. And then in turn, when we took over Caring Ministries, although it's been around for close to 50 years, we took over it management about 8 years ago. So the director right now is Joshua Hanna. He is actually the grandson of Ross, who started the ministry. So full circle, God had called him back to be the director 8 years ago. And so alongside him, we realized that we had a a challenge because our ministry is volunteer-driven, where we have volunteers from all walks of life, from churches, from the community, because it requires a lot of manpower to drive the trucks, to pick up the groceries, to unload the trucks, to wrap the food, to sort it, to pack it, to distribute it. So when we came, we were in a dilemma because most of our volunteers were very senior. They were in their 70s and older on average. And we realized that it was tough work, and we needed to figure out other ways to bring in other volunteers and help. But one thing that we did have plenty of during those days, early days, was we had a lot of folks, men, who were coming out of either rehab, drug rehabilitation. They might have been coming out of prison. We worked with several halfway houses and several rehabs, faith-based around us. And they would bring the men to our facility to work the docks, to keep them busy as they were going through their recovery process. So we started what we call now the Life Development Program. And with that program, we were able to bring men who have already gone through a rehab, or maybe they've been sober through incarceration and being in prison. And then when they come to us, we're kind of like the next step for them. So instead of just throwing them out into the world, sink or swim, we're a landing place for them. They can come to our program. Some of them we house right here on the property. Others live off property, but they come into work several times a week. And what they do is they learn job skills and life skills. It's either dock work or driving a truck, or, you know, learning how to drive a forklift. And then also we provide mentoring, which I'll get to more into a little bit later here, but we provide Bible study. We have a through ABCS, we have a counseling program where they can get free counseling to work on issues of trauma and all the things that brought them to a lifestyle of drug addiction or had led them to incarceration. And then through that program, we are trying to see them grow and be discipled. Ultimately, the life development is about discipleship and helping them discover their identity in Christ, their true identity in Christ, and the purpose that God has for their lives. So big ministry, in a nutshell, that's kind of what we do here down here in Tucson. Mm.
So with the Life Development Program, what are you seeing specifically? Some success stories and some that don't go so well?
Well, yes, we have both. To be real, this is when you're working with folks who have a lifelong histories of addiction and crime, you're going to find a lot that are receptive and many that are not. What we find is that all of these guys, without exception, have trauma issues. They have childhood trauma issues. As a disclaimer, I'm not a therapist. I do have a little background in studying counseling, but I don't, you know, I don't practice as a therapist. But what we do see is huge amounts of mental illness, mental health issues that arrive, and they coexist with the drug addictions. It's the classic example of, is it the chicken or the egg? Which comes first? Do people that have mental health issues and then use medications or illicit drugs to deal with the symptoms, to self-medicate? Yes. Or is it that people get involved in drug addiction and that opens doors into mental health issues? And I think the answer is yes. So it's very complicated. And then you have the whole spiritual component where when men, especially men, but men or women, get very deep into the drug addictions, and different drugs open different doors to the spiritual realm, we find that then they've opened doors to demonic things, and as they're trying to go through a recovery process, those things crop up and come into play, which makes it even more challenging to work with some of these individuals.
Mm. So when you're working with somebody who has opened those doors to the spiritual realm, how do you help them walk through that?
Well, kind of, I mean, there's a lot of different ways, and I mentioned that you know, we're in Bible study together, so there's a group setting. There's lots of men around them that have similar backgrounds, and so that have been successful or certain levels of success, so they can see that it can be done. We have the counseling, of course, which will give them that, you know, safe place to really dig in and dive into the trauma, whether it was, you know, childhood abuse, sexual or physical or neglect. Those things will be, you know, dealt with in those settings. But really, Mike, it comes down to prayer. Mm. Fervent prayer is the biggest tool that we have learned. And honestly, when we started this, we weren't sure what we were doing, because we were here to do a food ministry. We weren't here to work with men that had severe backgrounds of addiction and whatnot. So we had to learn through trial and error, and a lot of error and a lot of mistakes, that as we tried to do things in our own strength and our own wisdom, things didn't work out so well. And so we started turning to some more fervent prayer with the individuals, as a group, as a ministry. And then God gives wisdom when you pray. We ask for the discernment, we ask for the wisdom, and then that's how we break down some walls. And we saw walls come down, and with the successes, you see more walls coming down, and the honesty and the transparency with their stories would become more evident. And to the point where now we could actually pray specifically for an event of their life or a season of their life where they experienced heartache or woundedness. And then we keep continuing long term with that. So here's the great part about Caring Ministries is that we're a 6-day-a-week ministry. So our trucks are out every day except Sunday. And we always have workers on the dock. And it allows these guys to be here multiple days a week. So many of them are there at least 2 to 3, sometimes 4 or 5 days a week. And then over that time, it becomes more of a family. It becomes a family atmosphere where you get to know people when you spend time with them. Counseling is great, but once a week, once counseling or twice a month, you know, a lot of things can be missed or you don't get to see the whole person. But every day, the real person comes out, and you can address the issue on a daily basis. So that's where the prayer comes in, as we see guys, you know, go on the roller coaster of ups and downs. And so just some success stories we've had. We have a young man who got connected to us through another ministry, and he was coming to Arizona homeless. He was fleeing his family life. He had been living with abusive relatives and for all of his childhood, 19 years old. And when he came into Arizona, he really didn't have anywhere to go. So we kind of took a flyer on him. Normally, we have more of a long-term relationship with guys before they can live with us. But we sensed his spirit was, you know, he was in a tough place. We brought him into our program, helped him live here, get him set up living here, got him a job, and sure enough, he even had to, you know, as we were working with him just last month, he had an anniversary of his mom. His birth mom had passed away from a fentanyl overdose 2 years ago. His father was incarcerated, and we were able to walk through that time with him, and it was an anniversary that was, you know, going to be hard for anybody, but we were able to walk through that with him. And he's come out on the other side. And the spiritual warfare around this young man has been evident from the beginning. He's had encounters in the community where a man was trying to be a predator to him. He had a couple gang members would chase him through the at one time, and things that normally don't happen to our participants and never have happened. But we realized right away that God had a special purpose and plan for this young man's life, and that the enemy did not want him to go any further down that road. So the enemy was going all out to train wreck his life. But we are grateful that we get to have experiences like that.
So before you go further, I'm curious, does this spiritual warfare bleed onto you?
Well, at times it can. And I had a wise man once, and through Blazing Grace Ministries, talk about releasing these different emotions and encounters that we have. Because each story that a guy would share, it's easy to take that home. And what I love about my family and especially my wife, she's a prayer warrior, and her prayers often, you know, help immeasurably for me to come home and to be able to release it. But it is an active daily release of all the trauma, because I don't want to bring that onto me. We don't want to, as a team, we don't want to bring that home to our families, because we're not going to be effective in being conduits of God's grace to the men that he sends us.
So you're talking about prayer, which of course I love, and basically what I'm hearing is you're talking about prayer, fellowship, and God's word, and that's what the early church made their top priorities. So the big question is, why doesn't the modern church make those same big three a priority to them? What is your take?
Well, interestingly, a great question, Mike. We work with dozens of churches as partners, and they all have different makeups, small, medium, large, and what they love about our ministry is that they are able to take the food and provide it as a very tangible thing, right out of Matthew 25, to the people in need. And we just want to be a tool for the local church to be able to use that food as a witness, as a gospel tool, so that they can invite those people into their church for discipleship, for community fellowship, all those things. A lot of times with the modern church is, even when they come down here and come into our very poor neighborhood and see, you drive down our street and there will be the homeless, there will be the drug addiction users on the corners. It is very uncomfortable for a lot of folks, even though they love what we're doing, but oftentimes, well, we're glad you're doing it, but we get the sense that they're uncomfortable. That's not their calling, right? And I think that what it comes down to is comfort, right? We talk to our men a lot. You would think that men who have come out of severe addictions, and we're talking addictions that lead them to homelessness, living under bridges, in the desert. And when they do finally get some sobriety, and they do finally, and usually that sobriety comes with a decision for Christ. Not always, but most times they find that sobriety through a relationship with Christ. They still come in to this newfound freedom with a desire to be complacent. Oh. Because it's hard work. It's hard work to change. It's hard work on your knees with the Lord, doing things outside of your comfort zone, to do what the Lord asks sometimes and to make those changes. So we'll see guys grow and they'll hit a plateau, and then they kind of are stuck. And so it takes a lot of prayer and a lot of coaxing, sometimes lots of tough conversations. Hey, we're not going to judge you, but we take you as who you are, where you're at. However, we just can't allow you not to grow. So to be a part of our program, we have to see some tangible growth through time, over time. And it may be baby steps, or it may be big steps, but it allows us to have these check-ins and evaluations. Now, a lot of churches, I think you might see the same thing, although they're not living on the streets or in the deserts. They may be comfortable at their church and, checking the box. But here at the ministry, there's not a lot of time to check boxes because the work is coming fast and furious.
So do you have some, I imagine, who just outright reject Christ?
Yeah. Wow. It's remarkable that, if they didn't know who the real, true living Christ was, yeah, I can see them not wanting to go down that road. But we've had men who've been in our program for many months, sometimes over a year, who you know, at first they really said all the right words that they wanted to be a part. But when push came to shove and the addiction of drug addiction called, they would relapse back. And then they had to make a choice whether they, you know, and we work with relapse all the time. It's not something that, you know, it's not a one strike, you're out. We have lots of grace. But certain individuals, when the grace has run out and you know you have to make a change because not only are they hurting themselves, but they're hurting others in the ministry, we have the tough conversation. And one individual, it was remarkable as we got into his addiction to meth. And meth is we're finding meth is one of the darkest drugs you can find out there. It really, this individual had been using for most of his adult life, decades. He had claimed some sobriety, but when he fell back into it, it was just revealing more and more dark, demonic doors had been opened in his life. And a lot of it is sexual perversion. That obviously, this is a PG-13 show, we're not going to get into the details. But as we talked with him and said, hey, here's another chance. We need to get you into a rehab, get you cleaned out, and then you can come back and we'll work on this identity, this identity you have with the drugs, with your past, because ultimately God is calling you. And he admitted that years ago he had made a deal with the devil, kind of like on the movies, you know, Crossroads, and couldn't kind of understand exactly if he signed like a paper contract, but he made some kind of contract in his heart with the devil. And we said, well, here's your chance. You can break that contract. Jesus will break that contract for you. And he looked at us and he goes, no, that's what I signed up for, and that's as good as it's going to get. And he walked away from us, and now he's still wandering the streets of Tucson. So there is a huge number of men that have gone very deep and dark into places that are very hard to come out of, even with prayer. Prayer would make him uncomfortable and agitated, and we knew that, you know, that this was a stronghold. So we, you know, God is still pursuing him out there in the streets, and we pray for him often. However, you know, the streets are full of men and women now. We're seeing more young women that are living on the streets, more than I've seen ever before. And it is such a powerful force.
Dana, I love you talking about spiritual warfare and prayer, because this is the reality of where we are today. And I firmly believe we need to be equipping every believer in this area. So we got a few minutes left. So 2 minutes left, actually. So take a minute and talk to the man or woman who today are not in a good place. They're in bondage to some kind of sin. What would you tell them?
That's a great question. I would tell them there is hope, because we are in a hopeless world right now, and it's seemingly getting darker and more hopeless. But Christ is the only hope. And starting there, even if it's starting with a simple prayer, but what I love is part of our ministry is there's a lot of fatherlessness in the men we work with, and there's a lot of wounds around that. So going to Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6, God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. But the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. I think about the desert, how sun-scorched we are right now, and people actually living in the deserts and feeling hopeless. But God will set you in a family. Even if your family has abandoned you, abused you, left you on the wayside, God has a family for us, and it starts with a father who doesn't abuse, who is perfect, who is full of grace and mercy and love and joy.
Amen. I love it. And so real quick, how can people contact you if they want to support what you're doing?
Go to our website, wearecaring.org. So that's we R-A-R-E, caring.org. So wearecaring.org. You can sign up to volunteer. You can get more, you know, contact us directly. You can come set up a tour. We'd love to show you around. Come on down and take a look.
All right, Dane. Thank you, my friend. And we're at the end of our time, so we'll talk to you next time. Thank you for joining us.
Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.